selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain, they burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lime, to your face. Social side, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See the shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one thinks gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat. And this is UCY.TV. And I'm proud to be a member of this broadcasting group. And I'm not even sure what I'm going to talk about tonight, to tell you the truth. I had about 3 hours of sleep last night. Worked like a dog all day. And I'm tired. But we'll find something to talk about here, I'm sure. And let's just get me some of this stuff set up. There we go. Now, let's just get started right away here with our gay environment minister here in Ontario, Canada. Gas prices going up by 4 cents a liter in Ontario, minister reminds drivers. Now, that's about stateside, I think that's about 16 cents a gallon. 4 cents a liter doesn't sound much, but I think there's 4.5 liters to a gallon. And getting closer to 20 cents a gallon stateside. But hey, Mr. Happy Boy, our gay little minister of environment, who else would you have for one who want for an environment minister but a little gay boy? But he says it's not a lot. Of course, he's got a private car and a private driver, and he don't pay for his gas, but and he makes a hell of a lot more money per month than most of the people in this province. So it's not really a lot to him. It really doesn't mean a lot to him. But when you read this stuff, this is what kills me. It's always the same garbage. Always, 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 always the same garbage. And the media, I don't know what this story is on, CBC, the Communist Broadcasting Corporation of Canada, just like the BBC in Britain, the media knows exactly what's going down. The media knows that we're being taken down. And I don't understand the media myself, because if I was working for the media and I knew what the hell was going on, I'd be going out of my way to get it printed somehow. And if that didn't work, I'd get some other media people who get it and are sick and tired of being taken down from the inside. And I would think a group of those would work a little harder to start a counter media against the global propaganda that just keeps flying at us. Now, besides being gay, our premier is a lesbian. This is a good combination. And the lieutenant governor of this province came from the UN, UNEP, the United Nations Environmental Program. And they all like gay pride parades, and they like diversity. And if you look up diversity, the origins of the word, it means wicked and evil. And these are wicked, evil people, and they are destroying us from the inside. And it needs to be stopped. But it ain't going to get stopped by the media. Anyways, Murray goes on to say, said the price increases are examples of the costs associated with Ontario's cap and trade program. That would come right from Al Gore. Because, well, we got to put a price on carbon. And Al Gore was in business with Maurice Strong, who was the head of the United Nations Environmental Program. And Al Gore was also in business with Maurice Strong. What was the name of that company? Molten Metals, I believe it was. And took a pile of people for a ride and then cashed out. And this money that was coming to them was more of that environmental money coming out of your pocket through the government into these criminals' pockets. And you always get left holding the bag and are on the hook for the debt, because you, of course, are the surety for the debt. Not you not you, the man or the woman, but your personhood is, your little fictional man or woman that lives in the legal system, which, again, is a fiction. What I would say is the government has been listening very carefully to the fact that people are trying to keep their living costs down, but they keep going up. The focus is so much on reducing the cost of living, he said. But we're going to keep on. I mean, they say this crap, meaning that while I'm saying we're focusing on keeping the cost of living, what we're actually doing is driving the living cost of living up until, well, you come running to us for help. But Murray said provinces are taking the lead on fighting climate change, and Ontario is part of the global market that is trying to reduce emissions through carbon pricing. Well, there's an easier way to reduce emissions, and that was verified by the senior policy advisor for the Minister of Energy of Ontario many years ago when I had a conversation with him. And I said, why don't you just put the scrubbers on the coal plant? Wouldn't that reduce the emissions? Wouldn't that take care of the emissions? And he agreed it would. And he agreed it was cost effective. And he agreed it was the intelligent thing to do. But the problem with the scrubbers on the coal plants, well, you can contain the emissions. And this is what he said, you can't stop CO2. Well, CO2 is not a toxin. CO2 does not smog up the air. CO2 is simply a life gas, which the trees and the plants turn into oxygen so that we can survive. But no, that's not the problem. The problem is that we got to put a market on it. It's CO2. It's not really the emissions. It's not really the smog. It's not what this is about. This is about CO2, putting a price on the life gas. Anyways, it goes on, we've been very clear there are costs associated with this. You have to put a price on carbon. The fuels that cause the problem are being priced around the world, said Murray. Meanwhile, around the world, China has over 2,000 coal plants now. And as far as I know, there's no scrubbers on any of those coal plants. And they're building them by the day. And most countries over that neck of the woods are building coal plants. Why? Well, it's cost effective. It's readily available. And there doesn't seem to be any end to the stuff. But over here in the West, you know, Canada had basically no coal plants. And basically nobody lives here. Yet we have to shut down every single coal plant. Meanwhile, our coal is being shipped overseas to these countries that are building coal plants. So I don't know what it is that was with us in the West that we don't see any of this stuff. I don't understand why people can't see it. I guess they don't read anything. They just, turn on the radio and listen to the propaganda. As for the National Climate Change, it goes on, framework signed Friday by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and all but two of the provincial premiers. Murray said the wind government, that's the lesbian government, and we have a little gay boy running the Ministry of Environment, is not committed to anything new itself. The new deal puts in place a carbon pricing plan and aims to meet Canada's 2030 emissions reduction targets. Those are not. 2030 did not come from Canada, which again is just a fictional piece of paper, but we'll just let that ride for the time being. The 2030 deal, just like Agenda 21 deal, is cooked up by the same sons of bitches who started World War I, World War II, created Israel, created the League of Nations, created the UN, with the simple idea of creating a world government, a world religion. So when you hear, you know, your government, wherever you live, talking about their 2030 targets and that's not their 2030 targets. It's a template that was given to them. Fill it out. Make it local. Make it sound local. We'll give you examples of other countries around the world who are doing much better than you are. And you, of course, will put out in the media that we have to try harder because we could be number one in emission reduction if we try. We could be number one in wind power if we try. We could be number one in solar power if we try. And if you read UN agenda, or UN documents, they always play them the same way. When they're coming after your water, they will give you examples of some country that has done miraculous work on the reduction of water use. It doesn't matter what it is. They always work off templates and propaganda. So, you know, Mr. Gay Boy here calling it Canada's 2030 emission reduction targets is absolutely incorrect. The media knows it's absolutely incorrect, but they gives you spewing this stuff. So, you know, I sometimes think about McCarthy, Joe McCarthy, back in the 50s trying to stomp out this attempt to take down the West and to Sovietize the West, which is depicted very, very well in the 1987 movie, made-for-TV movie series, America with a K. It is very well documented in that, and that is what's going on here. It is the Sovietization of the West. And it's been going on a long, long time. And it's a cross between Sovietization and the French, because they're running on the same deals, okay? And it's called massive bureaucracy, where your so-called elected officials, they're the front end, they're the storefront, if you will. The real business is going on in the back rooms, in these created bodies, these different groups that are set up through the government, which are untouchable by the government. And when the government changes, those governing bodies never move. And when the new government comes in, they're the ones advising the new government on how to run the business, because that's all it is, a business. So don't look to your elected officials as somebody that gives a damn about you. These are very, very shallow, stupid people, and they just push whatever is being pushed. Anyways, let's see what we got here. In that system, okay, here I got to back up. Murray said Ontario, along with Quebec and California, already has a cap and trade system in place that he described as cost-effective mechanism to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And it's all about mechanisms. You know, the first time it really struck me, that word really struck me, was the 1950 Senate hearings. I forget which one it was, James or Paul Warburg, saying that they needed a mechanism. They were going to have world government, but they needed a mechanism. And that's exactly what these are. These are mechanisms. These are propaganda pieces that are sold to you as solutions. They're not solutions, they're mechanisms. And those mechanisms are being used to take you down from the inside without your knowledge. And people have to become aware of that. Anytime you see the word mechanism, you need to pay attention to it. It's a driver, okay? It is a mechanism used to drive their agendas. In that system, the province limits the amount of pollution allowed every year in a company's trade to stay under the individual caps. So now you've put a life gas into basically a trading system. And who's going to lose in this trading system? The companies? The governments? You and your families. That system, he says, is validated by this process as long as it meets the outcomes that we have committed to as a province. As long as we meet our targets, it doesn't much affect, doesn't have much effect, Murray said. These are UN targets. These are globalist targets. These are corporate targets. I mean, who's got all the money in their pockets? You do. And what do they want? They want your money out of their pocket and in their pockets. It's a wonderful scam. It's a brilliant scam, but it is a scam. It really starts to affect the other provinces that didn't really have any carbon pricing system in place. Revenue from Ontario's cap and trade program will be used to subsidize environmental projects and programs in the province, he said. Right. Now, where's the other story I'm looking for here? Let's see. I believe this has some of what I'm looking for. Yes, it does. This is my own power company's in here. Not my power company, the criminal power company, the only power company that we can get electricity from in my neck of the woods. So this Kilsyth dad, which is about an hour from here, hopes his power will be restored. The father of two from Kilsyth, whose family has been without power for 6 months, is hoping his string of bad financial luck will soon come to an end. Scott, who asked his last name not be used, said he lost his well-paying job as a systems analyst in 2012 due to restructuring. Soon after, he was diagnosed with kidney disease and was on dialysis for a year and a half before undergoing a kidney transplant in March. 3 months after his surgery, while he was still recovering at home, Hydro One disconnected the electricity service to his rural home after his family had fallen behind on their hydro bills. The family has been using a generator, which is about $25 worth of fuel each day, and has already broken down once, so they can't. Scott said all he wants is for his hydro restored for the winter. It's going to be a nightmare trying to keep this generator going in the winter. Keeping it going in the summer is one thing, but in the winter is just going to be a nightmare, he said in an interview. I just wanted the hydro back on long enough that we could put our house up for sale in the spring. Imagine trying to show a home you have and you have a generator running in the back or there's just no power. It's really hurting our ability to sell our home, he said, with no electricity in the home. Now, we're seeing this happen more and more and more often. I read a story, I don't know, a few months back about a couple in their 70s who had their power disconnected and are trying to sell their home They hadn't planned on selling their home, but now they can't afford to live in their home. What's not sustainable private property? That's 1976 Human Habitat out of Vancouver. Look it up. What else is not sustainable? Private vehicles, air conditioning, and so on and so forth. So we're seeing this happen more and more often because the idea is to drive people out of their homes, especially in the rural areas. Okay, the rural price of power is much higher than it is in the cities. And they use the excuse, well, there's not the density. You know, we have to run a power line way down the road to feed, you know, five or six homes versus the city where you can put 10,000 people in a block or whatever. So the user pays is the attitude. And that all came from Orstrong. It all came from the UN bullshit. They're going to do the very same thing with your road plowing in the wintertime. I saw those, not just the documents, but the speeches and that out of Calgary, Alberta. That was many years ago. Why should, it's always divide and conquer, pit the people against the people. That's how we get beat up all the time because the people don't stand up for each other. The rhetoric tells them to, someone else is costing them money or something. And we should put a stop to that. And in Calgary, what they were talking about is why should they pay the same amount of taxes for snow plowing or ambulance service? That was part of the deal when there's only a few people on that road. And so the cost to plow the road between each house is considerably higher than if you just plow past the front of a high rise. And they use that rhetoric. And the plan is, of course, we know all about the rewilding. The plan is to drive people out of the rural areas and into community hubs or sustainable towns where the density will forever increase and increase and increase and increase. And anybody outside of that is going to pay through the nose. Now, this hydro system, our water system now is going the same direction. All you had to do was go down and look at Bolivia a bunch of years ago when the Bechtel Corp worked the deal. Bolivia was given a bunch of money, I think, from the IMF or the World Bank. One of them was all the same money because it's fake. With the idea that they would turn over their water to the Bechtel Corporation. Well, that's good for the Bechtel Corporation, bad for the Bolivian people. Who found their water prices going through the freaking ceiling? Why wouldn't it? If you got a monopoly on anything, and it's not like Coca-Cola, where you can take it or leave it. And I you know, wish everybody would just quit drinking them stupid carbonated drinks. Makes your head fuzzy. But anyways, Bechtel got a hold of the water and took advantage of it, and the Bolivian people started to lose their homes because they couldn't afford the water, not unlike what's going on here in rural Ontario, and I'm sure in different places in rural United States and Australia and Britain and all over. To continually drive the price up, these people can't get electricity from anywhere else, just like the Bolivians couldn't get water from anywhere else. So some of the Bolivian people started to collect rainwater off the roofs, but Bechtel jumped in there really quick and said that they had control of all of the water in Bolivia, and that included the water that fell out of the sky onto Bolivia. And therefore, the people couldn't collect the water. Now, we see this all over the place now. People put up rain barriers or dig a ditch or a pond to collect water, either for their animals or whatever, and getting dragged into court over it. You see, we got to get back to a basic situation here of I just call it the creator, who gave us dominion. Didn't give them dominion, gave each of you dominion over everything that was created. That meant the water and the food and the land and everything else. But these Cretans who created the legal system thought they would put themselves in the position of the creator, and because they create the laws, you see. They create the laws. They're not real laws, they're fictional laws because the legal system's fiction. And they create the laws, and they're the creator. And so they have dominion over everything, and you have nothing. And that's basically what we've been entrapped in for a very, very long time. So what went on in Bolivia is going on here, and it's going on all over the world. But they're really trying to crush the West, which Moore Strong said isn't the only hope for the planet, that the industrialized nations collapse isn't our responsibility to help bring that about. And, well, they're all on board, aren't they? Cutting their throats, cutting our throats. And I don't understand how evil you have to be, right? How amoral you have to be for a few trinkets of phony money that you would destroy your own people. That is you can't get any freaking lower than that. But this is what the politics is rife with. These are all UN globalist corporate minions. And they plan on taking everything from you. And they've been doing a pretty good job of it so far. So we need not wait. What the Bolivians ended up doing in after being abused by Bechtel for a period of time and watching their neighbors lose their homes, and as people tend to do, they tend to look the other way if it's not directly affecting them. But it went on to the extent where the Bolivian people couldn't turn a blind eye anymore, and they rose up, and a few of them got killed, but they rose up en masse. And they drove Bechtel from their lands. And that's what we need to do. We need to rise up and drive these UN globalist corporate minions from our lands and anybody who supports them. Because anybody who supports them is evil. Anyone who supports for them is up to no good. Anyone who supports them is threatening the futures of your families. And these kind of people need to be run off our lands and or incarcerated or put in a zoo where normal people can come and see what amoral idiots look like. Personally, I'd like to tie them or put them in the stocks in the town squares and sell rotten tomatoes and other produce and put them in the stocks. And I'm talking about your local mayor, because every single local mayor, every single councillor, every city manager, every CAO is up to their eyeballs in this deception. And they all deserve to be in the town square, in the stocks, having tomatoes or whatever your favorite thing you would throw at one of these people is, a rock maybe, and show them that we're not putting up with this garbage anymore. This is our water. This is our hydro. Okay? This is our land. We own it. They don't own it. Okay? They possess it on paper. We possess it in flesh and blood. Big difference. We are real. They are fake. We are real. They are fiction. And why we allowed ourselves ever to be enslaved by fiction, of course, is through deception and the promise of benefits. Here's something for nothing. Well, that didn't work out so good, did it? Didn't work out well at all, but people just like to think they're getting something for nothing. Anyways, this goes on here, and, let's see. Ontario's largest utility provider says it will waive reconnection fees, which can be as high as $300, work with its customers to come up with an affordable payment plan, and inform them about assistance programs available to help customers in arrears. Now, you know your government is a business because they keep referring to you as a customer. Okay, Hydro One is a crown corporation, and you're their customer. Problem is, they don't like competition. Okay, so you think your government is supposed to be benevolent? Well, guess what? It ain't. Okay, they dragged you along and made you soft, thinking the government will always look after you, And when the time is right to strike, which is now, they strike. And you don't have the capacity to stand up and do anything about it, which is really pathetic. But I'm a man of faith, and I do believe that we will stand up probably sooner now than later. People are about fed up with this. Let's see. Hydro One announced Wednesday it will be reaching out to its roughly 1,400 residential customers without electrical service. So you have 1,400 homes in Ontario without hydro running into the winter. Hydro One spokesman said Thursday the 56 customers in that area includes Owen Sound, which is about an hour north of me here, most of Gray County and the northern portion of Bruce County have had their hydro disconnected due to unpaid balances. So they gave this guy an opportunity to get his hydro back, okay? He lost his job, he was sick, yada, yada, yada. And so he fell way behind in his hydro bills. And so Hydro One worked out their new winter relief program to work out a payment plan with the utility provider. So what they offered this guy was they would reconnect him if he would make a monthly payment of $2,000. That's not for the mortgage payment. That's not for the rent. That's not for the food. That's not for a vehicle. That is simply a payment plan so you can turn on your frickin' lights. Now, what happens here is that each year, more and more people fall behind in their hydro bills because the things just continually go up. Each year, more and more people are disconnected. Then they offer them these ludicrous payment plans, of which they can't deal with. And as far as Hydro One goes, they have a deal where they have to give you hydro through the winter. So now you're behind on your hydro, and now they turn it back on, and you can't afford it in the winter because it's so damned expensive. And then that's added to the bill that you were cut off for in the first place. You see where this is going? You ain't ever getting out. The only way you're getting out is to move out. And that's exactly the plan. Now, let's see, Francisca Dobbin, Executive Director of the United Way of Bruce Gray, said while she is absolutely thrilled that Hydro One is going to work to get all of its customers reconnected for the winter, much more needs to be done to fix the root of the energy poverty problem. Now, they like to use this word poverty now. And it's another word like mechanism, okay? They're pumping that word poverty. Because they're pumping the guaranteed income, the guaranteed basic income. And as poverty levels rise, which they are, which they shouldn't be, because per capita we live in the richest natural resource-based country on the planet, but we seem to have more and more people ending up in poverty. And that's not by accident. It's so that they can get these people who are screwed to latch onto this guaranteed basic income nonsense. Anyway, so see, she goes on, we still have to ultimately resolve the affordability factor, she said. It's great that we are not disconnecting people over the winter. We want that to happen, but we also want a slew of disconnects come, we also don't want a slew of disconnects come April 1st because people simply can't afford to pay their bills. Meanwhile, this province is paying billions of dollars to get rid of the excess hydro being produced in this province. And there's a ton of it because most of the big manufacturing companies that were big energy users, and that's why we built our system, so that those businesses would have a advantage and they could afford to pay better wages and that people would have a better life All of that is long gone now. So we have this glut of electricity, can't get rid of it. Now, all of these people that are disconnected, you have just so much energy being not sold, but we're paying New York and different places to take it from us because they don't want it. But this was all part and parcel of the Enron scam. If you study the electricity system in the United States as it is today and in Canada, you will find that the Enron group is a huge player in this deception that's going on. And continues to be, even though Enron does not exist anymore. Their players are still running around. We have lots of their emails to prove it. And when I talk about having emails, you won't see me holding up a bunch of stapled together paper with the UN logo on the front end like Julian Assange does, that freaking little squirrel. Anyways, he's a different story altogether. If you listen to what this clown's saying, not me, the clown, but that other clown, Julian Assange, give your head a shake. He's just been suckered one more time, okay? So learn to read stuff and quit. I hated that whole thing through the election. You know, WikiLeaks is about to disclose more emails about Hillary Clinton. And people go, oh. The guy's a player, period, end of that subject. Anyways, so they disconnect the people. The United Way gets involved in it and says, oh, this is what we need to do, this is what we need now. The United Way is playing good cop. Hydro companies playing the bad cop. United Way and some of these other outfits that help people are playing good cop. But they're both on the same force. Okay, they're both on the same force. One is driving up your hydro bills so that you can't live in your house. The other one is pushing for the guaranteed income. Now, the driving up of the electricity, that comes straight out of the UN, and so did the guaranteed income come straight out of the UN. So it's good cop, bad cop. And I wish people would generally understand how this game plays out. Now, the province could also increase the payout for Ontario Works, which is welfare, and the Ontario Disability Support Program, which he said is certainly not enough to cover housing costs, see? So you need a guaranteed income, okay? So that you may have adequate housing, adequate amount of water, adequate amount of electricity, and so on and so forth. Again, that is straight out of, I think that's right in the preamble, I think, of the United Nations Human Rights Declaration. This is all UN shit. It has no place in my province. It has no place in my municipality. It has no place in your town. It has no place in your state. It has no place in your country. None. Anybody that's pushing this is a traitor to the people. They are evil by the definition. They are wicked, and they need to be dealt with. Plain and simple. So Dobson said, conserving electricity is simply not enough to significantly lower a person's hydro bill due to global adjustment, delivery, and other fees. Now, this is funny because I was talking to a guy that was pulled up to the commercial building I'm working on right now. And I was talking to him, it says his, he's driving a van. It says mobility and transit. And so I figured he backed in there because he had somebody that was not mobile that wanted to go to the store. And so I'm looking there, and this lady jumps out of the truck, out of the van, and just wanders over to the store. I didn't see no walker. I didn't see no wheelchair. I didn't see nothing, no cane. So I go over and talk to the truck, and I said, you know, this is, mobility in that. And I figured that was for disabled people. Well, it is. But I see it also says transit. And he goes, yeah. So I says, so it's not just for disability. It's also a transit. So I could call you up and you'd come pick me up and take me to work. Well, you'd have to register and you have to qualify, right? Yada, yada, yada. I said, I don't register things. But what was interesting, he said he went, we were talking about, we were talking about hydro. And, you know, he said he went out and got all new appliances and that, these energy saving appliances and that. And the first month he actually saved some money. His hydro bill actually went down. Well, that's an alarm bell for the hydro company or an Enron agent because they're all about fleecing people. So they see his electricity bill actually went down. And then he said they came to my house and said that my meter was malfunctioning, put a new meter on, and now my hydro bill is higher than it was before I put in the energy efficient appliances. That's how criminal this is. It is absolutely criminal. And so as far as Wisteria Power Inc. goes, that's my provider, which provides power to 23,000 customers in parts of Bruce, Gray, Wellington, and Huron counties, decided in 2015 against implementing a policy to not disconnect people in the winter. So for the neck of the woods I live in, if you fall behind your hydro bill here in the winter, you're going to have a very long winter. And I know people here in this town that have had to sell their houses because they couldn't keep up with their ever-increasing hydro bills. And that is criminal, absolutely criminal. Now, the Sun-Times, which is the Owen Sound newspaper, was unable to reach Lisa Millen, who is the CEO of the municipally owned. Now, this is getting interesting. I got to phone this guy. Lisa Millen, president and CEO, and if you want a wicked witch, I know this woman for years. If you want a wicked witch, man, if you want evil, if you want the epitome of evil, it's the CEO of Wisteria Power. If you were bleeding on the side of the road, this bitch would not stop and help anybody. This is as evil as it can get and be still walking and actually resemble a man or a woman. It is pathetic. So what it says, though, the CEO of the municipally owned distribution company. Now, all of this was amalgamated, okay? I think there was 13 municipally owned PUCs, distribution outfits, but they're all municipally owned. They were all amalgamated, and that all came through the Enron scam. And they were sold to the people on lower prices, more efficiencies, because if they take 13 and amalgamate them into one, obviously they don't have the overlap of administration and that, and therefore there would be lots of savings and yada, 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 yada. And it was set up as a public-private partnership. Now, years after that, I'm talking because I'm very disgusted with these people, and I'm talking with their board of directors, and they ain't giving me the time of day. So I just kept phoning them, and I finally got one guy who was on the board. And I said, you know, this is a public-private partnership, but it doesn't seem to be operating as such. And he kind of spilled the beans, and he, you know, I asked him, is this public-private or is it private? And he said, it's private. And I said, well, okay, how did public-private get to be private without notifying the people about it? And he just said, well, the lawyers did it. The lawyers did it. Brilliant. And then he realized he said too much and had to get the hell out of there. But here it says that it's a municipally owned distribution company. Well, if you ask the municipality, they say it's a public-private ownership, public-private partnership. And if you talk to Lisa the Hun Millen, you are told that it's private. So you can't get a straight answer out of any of these clowns other than the municipality is being paid through the back door on this deal, which again is criminal. And so the municipality is saying it's private, public, private. The CEO says it's completely private. And one of the board members said, well, the lawyers did it. And then they give up these idiot excuses as to why people are having a hard time and why they need the guaranteed income and so on and so forth. So it is just always, 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 always a scam. And why we put up with these scams, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm seeing some stuff, you know, because I always say, you know, we're going to do this without getting violent. And actually, the Bolivian people did it without getting violent. Now, the corporate police shot a few of the Bolivian people, which is shows you the intent of these people. But the Bolivian people, they just rose up and said they'd had enough. And they marched en masse. And I guess because all of these people in places of power really are chicken shits. They're, I don't know, spoiled little brats when they were children. I don't know what the hell the deal is on them, but they're nuts. And so they are chickens. And once they've lost control, they will run. Once they know that they can't, you know, schmooze their way through this anymore, they will run. And you can guarantee they will not stand and fight with you. They will run. And that's just the way they are. And so that we don't really have anything to fear from them. But we do need to get our electricity systems back. We do need to get our water systems back. We most definitely have to get our education systems back. You know, it's so bad that, you know, the working stiffs don't understand that every one of their union leaders, every one of them, the upper echelon, the power brokers, are pushing the UN agendas. I'm sure if you work for a union anywhere, they'll bring up sustainability from time to time, and or, you know, get a bunch of you together and go pick up garbage along the highway because, oh, well, you know, we love the environment kind of crap. And unfortunately, people get sucked into that and believe they're actually doing something for the benefit of the environment. What they're doing is they're working toward the demise of their own nations. And that's really not too bright. So if the corporations, the global corporations, get their way, you will get yourself a guaranteed income. And then they, because you are getting a guaranteed income, your income level from the corporation will go way down because they don't have to pay you as much because you're already getting a guaranteed amount of money for years. So you're going to work and they'll just top it up for you. And that is in the UN agreements and the UN agenda and their paperwork. At least they tell you what the hell they're up to. I got to give them credit for that. But I don't know what it takes for people to understand the hammer's coming down on us. And, you know, I mean, you just look at it. It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. You know, government is a monopoly. Government is a business. Government wants you to have marijuana. Wait a minute. You filled up how many jails with how many people over the years? Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people around the world have been sitting in jail cells, some of them for 20, 30 years, over some weed. But now the government needs tax money, so they're going to legalize marijuana. Well, how can a government who spent so many years chucking people in jail all of a sudden embrace that product that they said was evil and deadly and a gateway drug and yada, 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 yada. And then all of a sudden turn around and say, oh, wow, you know, it has some medical stuff and we're going to set our boys, our friends up with permits to start weed factories. And we will sell you the weed that we were busting you for having in the past. Now, you're still going to get busted unless you have our weed. Now, if you have our weed, it's okay because, it's safe weed. It's government weed, and, we care about you. But, you know, the same people that were just growing it before without our okay are still going to get busted. That's how ludicrous this whole government nonsense is. It is a business, and it is a business that is only interested in monopoly. And that monopoly is control. When they control your water and you can't get it anywhere else, and they control your electricity and you can't get it anywhere else, well, they can do whatever the hell they want to you. Now, many people have got fed up and they said, well, I can't afford these bills. I can't afford these water bills. I can't afford these hydro bills. So they decide, well, I'm going to do the obvious thing, and that's go off the grid. Because isn't that what the government's yapping about all the time? Be sustainable. Fine, I'll be sustainable, and I won't buy your damn water, and I won't buy your damn electricity or gas or whatever it is, and I will just go off the grid. Now, we've seen all kinds of stories where somebody got fed up and went off the grid, and next thing you know, their home's been condemned. Well, didn't you want me to say be sustainable? No. We want you to keep paying the higher and higher prices. It's not, it got nothing to do with sustainability. They're talking about their sustainability, their friends and business sustainability. That's the sustainability they're talking about. It's got nothing, never had a damn thing to do with the planet. It only had to do with money, and it only had to do with control. And they've basically stupefied the people to the point where the people just keep putting up with this nonsense. It's really, really sad to watch. So, you know, here's something, you want about racism, you hear about racism all the time, and Black Lives Matter, and Idle No More for the Native People, and yada, 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 they flood us with Muslims and Chinese and every other freaking entity that had nothing to do with the building of this nation. And they're giving them a guaranteed income. I think they're talking about giving the so-called Canadian people, the white people, guaranteed income of something like $1,300 and something a month. But the Muslims that they're importing into our nation by the ton, I think, are getting something between $3,200 and $3,600 a month. Whoa, up here. So different guaranteed income for different groups of people. But being a smoker, it just dawned on me today that they have these pictures on the cigarette packages. I don't know what they're like in the United States or Australia or anywhere else. But here, they always have pictures of someone, you know, that's had a hole punched in his throat or whatever. Or they have pictures of, people gotten real ugly because they smoked and whatnot. Very, very disturbing pictures. But what dawned on me was this the only sector of society where all the people on these cigarette packages are white. I don't see any Chinese. I don't see any Japanese. I don't see any Muslims. I don't see any East Indians. I just see white people. Now, more and more in the magazines and catalogs and this and that and the other part, or government websites, there's getting to be less and less and less white people, especially in these government websites. There's pictures, less and less white people, to the point where the white people are the absolute minority in these pictures from the government. And they're taking over our legislatures, that's for sure. They're taking over our ministry roles, that's for sure. Now, how is it these people who just landed in here, all of a sudden, I mean, here in Canada, we got somebody I think is a Muslim, who didn't even immigrate properly. And there's shouts to give her the boot, but no, they're all protecting her. It would be racist or it wouldn't be fair, even though she broke the law, to take away her government position. So again, all I can say to the people is pay attention. Remember what happened to the Bolivians and other groups of people all around the world. Understand that we're being infiltrated, or we were infiltrated a long, long time ago. Understand that nothing your government, your so-called government, does is for the benefit of your nation or you or your family. Nothing. Everything they do is working off of these so-called mechanisms, right? They stew up these mechanisms and they put it into play, put it into motion, and the schools, the churches, the media, the government workers all pick it up and push it and push it and push it until the next new mechanism comes along, and then they push that, and then another mechanism comes along and they push that. And pretty soon your nation doesn't look anything like the nation that you were born into. And that Yuri Brezhnikov, if you just put that in, you can get that video at my blog, CanadianTruths.wordpress.com, but it's brilliant. He specifically lays it all out, as does the movie America. It shows it after the takeover. But Yuri Brezhnikov, he warns specifically about not allowing gays or lesbians to get into any upper control of government, which they're rife with. It's what he says in his videos, and I don't know if he was on the up and up or he just came over here to tell us what the hell was going on in case we hadn't noticed. But it's a brilliant, brilliant video series. Because we're so far down the road, he was talking about this in the 70s. I was talking about this stuff in the 70s. But I didn't come from the KGB. And I didn't see his video in the 70s. But what he's talking about, you go back, and he was speaking in the 70s. So you can see exactly everything he's told you in the 70s has come true now. Over the years, everything he spoke about has come true. So we don't have to wonder what the hell's going on. We know what's going on. The question is, how are we going to put the brakes on it? How are we going to turn it around? And I can't believe that North America has gotten that weak-willed that we can't stand up and shove this stuff out of here. They're not going to hear music in about 2 seconds flat. So, I got 3 hours sleep last night, worked like a dog all day today, and I think I'm just going to go to bed early tonight. That's what I think I'm going to do. So, until Thursday night, if you're a Canadian or an American, keep your stick on the ice, and unless you see a gay or lesbian government official or one that's pushing the UN, and then take that stick, that hockey stick, and, well, try your best slap shot up the side of their head, will you? And that's metaphorical. But you're going to win this. That's all I want people to understand. You're going to win this.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill.